My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. So, 2 weeks ago, I was invited by my daughter and son-in-law to a music festival up north. There were at least 150 bands scheduled over a three-day weekend, and it was a hippie festival, believe it or not. There are still some of those around. And since I grew up at that time, they figured that I would enjoy this. Well, I'll tell you, I haven't seen so many hippie-type people since the 1960s. It was unbelievable. They had, some of the things people wore were really an eyeful, but some of the things I remember is, you know, the big bell-bottom jeans that I used to wear with the inserts. Somebody would sew like a cloth insert in the pleats of them. Well, those were around, and half the guys looked like Willie Nelson. There were two old VW vans that some of the vendors had, and then there was this school bus that was all painted in psychedelic colors, and it was a traveling yard sale. So you could go in there and pick up just about anything. Everyone was very friendly. The founder of the festival was just 38 years old, and he encouraged everyone to share the love over the weekend. And so the vibe was really pretty wonderful. People treated each other kindly and with respect. It was definitely a step back in time. And, you know, the people were not all as old as me. They were, you know, younger people, but they were all doing the hippie thing. So it was kind of fun. And what I really enjoyed was seeing the children there. There were hundreds of families camping in the campground, little boys wearing bib overalls, and little girls with their colorful dresses. Now, I'm not a camper. In fact, I never slept in a tent until 2 weeks ago. And my daughter and her husband, they used the tent that I had gotten them for Christmas a couple years ago, and they had brought along a little pup tent for me. That was an experience. The first night, it was raining, and it was kind of cold. I had about four layers of clothes on when I literally dove into my tent for the night. To sleep in there. And the music kept going, though, until 3 o'clock in the morning. It was 41 degrees that night. And I really did keep pretty warm. But what was really difficult was, and I'm glad nobody could see this, was, of course, needing to get up to go to the outhouse in the middle of the night and having to put my shoes on while lying down. And then getting out of the tent with these old knees and trying to stand up without tripping over a log, it was all just, I was really glad nobody could see that. Well, Saturday was a beautiful fall day the next day, and we listened to lots of music and ate ice cream. At 5 o'clock, the organizers gathered everyone around one stage for the blessing of water. And actually, the purpose of this festival is not only to listen to good music, but many of the people there are activists that work, you know, every day. And so it's an opportunity for them to have a little respite from that. But also the purpose of this festival is to give thanks for the good, clean water that we have in Michigan. And there are people there that are there to protect our spring water and to advocate on behalf of the Great Lakes. So the water blessing went like this. First, there was a Native American shaman who played a song on his pan flute that was really quite beautiful. And then there was a Jewish man who came and who came up and demonstrated the ritual of washing hands, which the Jewish people use during the Sabbath. And then a Lutheran pastor who used to serve in Traverse City came forward and said a blessing using part of the flood prayer that we hear during the baptismal rite, where the pastor talks about how God saved God's people through water, through how Noah was saved, and then how God saved the Israelites going through the Red Sea, and then how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. He named God as creator and Jesus as redeemer and the Holy Spirit as the one who blesses. It was very beautiful and meaningful to me to hear my own religious tradition there. There was another man who I think was a Mormon, and he had some words of blessing. And finally, there was a woman representing Islam, and she had lived in Flint during the water crisis. She said she had 6 children and couldn't afford the bills. If you haven't heard, the water bills were extremely high in Flint during that time, and I believe they still are. So she decided, since she had 6 children and couldn't afford the bills, she was going to move to Puerto Rico, which she did. And then Hurricane Maria came. Talk about bad luck. She had a rap that she shared that told of her experiences. And then we raised our bottles of cold water and gave thanks to God for the water. And everyone smiled and greeted one another, kind of like we do when we share the peace on Sunday mornings. Well, today Jesus talks about how the Holy Spirit sometimes works beyond our human imagination. And I think that's kind of what was happening there at that music festival. Not everyone confessed the name of Jesus, but there were a lot that did. And I believe the Holy Spirit was present on that crisp autumn morning, blessing the gift of water. In our gospel lesson, the disciples come to Jesus tattling that someone is healing demons in his name, but he is not one of us, they say. They don't ask if it was all right to stop him. They just assume that they have something going on that's better than this other guy, and that they have the right to stop him, even though Jesus' first miracle in Mark is the casting out of demons. The disciples don't rejoice that the person with demons is being delivered from his misery. They're more concerned about who's in and who's out. Like a parent who's tired of hearing a toddler's tales, Jesus sets them straight. Whoever is doing something good in my name, whoever is not against us, is for us, he says. In other words, it's not about your way of doing things. Others can join in too. And I am reminded of Jesus' words to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Well, I must admit that I need to hear these words of Jesus. I am a Lutheran Christian through and through. I was raised in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, went to elementary school in a Lutheran school, did public high school, but then went on to a Lutheran college where I was trained to teach in a Lutheran school. After 16 years out of school, I was called to be an ordained Lutheran minister. And part of my role here and Pastor Dave's at St. Luke's is to be the resident theologians. I know who's in and who's out, at least in terms of orthodoxy. I am a gatekeeper. And there are some aspects of other forms of Christianity that really do drive me crazy. However, while I think that we have some of the best theology to bring to the Christian ecumenical table, I have also learned a lot from other Christians over the years. I admire the theology of marriage and family that the Christian Reformed Church espouses. I also admire the passion of the Pentecostals. They remind us Lutherans to loosen up a little bit. At my first call in Kentwood, we had a mostly African-American Pentecostal church come and request to use our building for their worship services. And there was something in my first conversation with their administrator that just told me that the Spirit was present in that meeting. We prayed together for God to lead us, and later I recommended them to the church council as we entered an agreement with them. And we gained so much from that relationship with one another. Some of our people became less fearful of people of color. We called them the noisy church, and they called us the quiet church. And they took better care of our facilities than we did ourselves. We learned to love each other very much. They grew by leaps and bounds and eventually outgrew our building and had to leave. But even today, they will say that they had their beginnings as a Pentecostal church in the Lutheran church, which is pretty unusual. And I think it makes God smile. Why is it so important that we work together? Well, also from the book of John, Jesus' prayer is that we all would be one. Even though we may not agree on everything, we need to have a common witness. And this is especially true in our 21st century. We are called to witness to the love and the grace and the joy of knowing Jesus as our Savior. Christ died for everyone, despite our differences. When we sing the song, "All are welcome in this place," we certainly can't leave out some people. Those of a different class, for instance, or those who believe differently about certain issues like abortion or women's rights or climate change. All are welcome, Jesus will say in our gospel lesson next week. And I do think this can apply to our interfaith relationships as we learn from one another about our understanding of God. We can enrich one another's faith. I know I have learned so much from the Jewish people. My second congregation, Samuel in Muskegon, has a very strong relationship with the Jewish community in Muskegon. And I have learned so much from them, especially the rabbi. We can agree on certain values and work together with one another. In this reading, as Jesus is preaching and teaching, he is still holding a little child like he did in the reading last week. It's still part of that same section of scripture. And so, as he holds this little child, he says, just like Ava and Noel were up here, he says, this little child observes what you're doing. He observes he or she observes your worship and your serving and your interactions each and every day. And then Jesus uses some very strong language in warning what will happen if we make one of these little ones stumble and not want to come to Jesus. We are here as Christ's witnesses to help these little ones learn and grow in their faith. May we get beyond our differences, listen to the Holy Spirit, express our love for one another, as we all are God's children, born to live in peace. Amen.